All right, we're here with Not a Great Whisperer podcast. Again, I'm your host, Katie Ray. I have Mrs. Marissa Moran today. Owns her own business, Hair by Marissa Moran. I will keep repeating that the whole episode. I love her. I've known her for way too long. I love her ambition, her creativity. She always makes me beautiful. She is beautiful. There's just so many good things. I could actually just sit here and talk about her without her talking
keep
this whole
going,
time.
And I love it.
I want to really talk with her about owning her own business, being a hairstylist as well as a stylist, a makeup artist, just being a woman in the industry, owning her own shit, and making it happen for her. So again, this is Marissa Moran. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, boo. So my name is Marissa Moran. I am 31, about to be 32, been in the industry for going on 11 years. I started with my love of kind of like, it all started with theater, acting as a kid, dance as a kid. Then I did theater, hair and makeup in high school, ran the department at my high school in thespians. Then went to HCC for theater, did hair and makeup there. And then after I got my degree, got my license, made it all legal, quote unquote. So it's been about 11
Love
years.
Love that. And one of my things I always like to ask, did you have the support of your family when you started doing hair and makeup? Did they push you more to acting? Was it something that you felt supported in the whole time you were doing it?
100%. I am a third generation hairstylist. So my grandmother was a hairstylist. My stepmother was a hairstylist. And my mom actually sold Mary Kay. So she did makeup her whole life. So it was definitely something whether they liked it or not, we all knew I was going to do it. It was almost like it was like the family trade.
Love it.
The college route, they did the Florida prepaid for me. So they would love for me to have gone to college. So I kind of only went to HCC just to kind of be the first in my family to go. I just wanted to be extra like that, you know? So that's it. Once I got my associate's degree, it's just collecting dust right now. But
you needed to say you went
to
college.
I just had to be the first. And then my brother taught me with his like master's, whatever. But
you
I started. Ding, ding, I won.
And your family is Cuban.
Yes.
My Cubana.
Yes. So go on.
Marissa and I go way back. She did all the makeup for my wedding.
Way back before that.
Oh, yeah. Way before that. But she made me beautiful on my beautiful wedding day. We go back from cheesecake days. Shout out to all the special flavored cheesecakes, too. And all
but
the cakers.
I still know all the flavors and all the ingredients.
So I think ever since I've known you, you've always really motivated me, inspired me. When you were traveling the world, being a trainer, I was like, shit, I could have done that with her. And then I moved to Miami. Fell in love that weird thing. But I always like to see, how do you feel that owning your own business has affected positively or negatively your personal life? Do you feel that you're missing out on anything personally? Is there things that you kind of wonder if you didn't own your own business and run everything yourself? Is there anything that you kind of overthink sometimes?
It's kind of the double-edged sword. I love the fact that I can make my own schedule, that I can take off a day if I need to do a family event. But that being said, if I don't get the clients, I don't make money. So the thing about working for a corporate company, I knew I had a paycheck. I knew if I wanted to pick up a shift, I could go and pick up a shift. So I just knew it was steady. I knew, you know, I had a W-2, taxes were simple, all of that. Then you come to do running your own business and it's your own. You have to hustle yourself. You have to do everything yourself. And it's really scary sometimes because you have to have the self-confidence, but you also have to have the drive to like push.
What was your aha moment when you were in the corporate world and finally just, I know you did everything on the, like as your hobby, you were still making money on the side with hair and makeup, but what was your aha moment where you're like, I'm done with the corporate world? What happened?
I went from going to 5 days a week at Cheesecake to 1 day a week doing hair. Then I switched roles and I was 5 days doing hair and 1 day a week at Cheesecake. And I literally only stayed to be a trainer. I loved teaching and I loved training. It was like, it like makes me emotional because that was my favorite part of the job. I got to travel the world with it. I got to do it in Tampa. And it got to the point that it was like becoming noticeable that my passion was hair and not so much teaching anymore. And I basically, one of my like mentors just kind of looked at me and was like, as your friend, you need to go. As your boss, I don't want to lose you. That was my moment. Was I was just like, I can't keep doing this. We were planning my wedding. I was already like stretched so thin. And then I just kind of like called my soon to be husband and I just cried to him and he was like, just let it go. I just literally had to like, let it go.
That was good though. And how do you feel now?
I love it. I literally, that was, what is it called when you, cut the cord, the umbilical cord. Yeah. Like I just had to, it was my safety net. And I just knew no matter what, if I decided to stop doing hair, I had a professional career. I could have gone further with Cheesecake, but I had to let it go.
I love that you did. But I know all the people that you trained were probably like, I'm so glad I had her before she left us. How do you think every experience, of course, but owning your own business has changed you, like in confidence and just kind of running shit. You've always had that confidence. So like, what do you think the biggest thing that has changed in you from owning your own business?
The biggest thing that's changed in me has probably happened in the past 2 months / 6 months is just like, I need to get my shit together. Can I cuss?
Yes. Okay. Oh, please. Okay, never ask. Not a great whisper. Okay. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Just kind of the past like couple months of like adulting and getting my business side together. Because I started again doing it as a hobby at first, and I wasn't a full-time stylist, I didn't do the business side. So I was just taking in money. And it almost started from, if I would have started from the beginning with the business plan and like the proper way, and I'm sure your sister knows this, when you get out of hair school, you're supposed to, you know, be an assistant. You're supposed to go to a commission-based salon. That's where you learn the grunt work, the how to, you know, properly price out things, how to do, it's like all the bitch work that you have to learn to run a business. I didn't. I was blessed enough that I went straight to my stepmom's salon. So I basically went straight from class to behind my own chair. And I had her chair 3 days a week. So I was very blessed in that standpoint where I got to bring in clientele on my terms and doing it my way, but I did not learn any of the business side. So that is the scariest thing / the most like, okay, I'm starting to take business classes. I actually started to, I don't know, turn my taxes in before, you know, I had to file an extension. Like
adulting at its best.
Adulting at its best. And it's just been kind of like, I took the hair doctor's class, Gina Bianca's class. And it just kind of like smacked me in the face with reality. And she's like a bomb, like boss bitch. And it was what I needed to get the push. That was what I think personally I was missing from the business side of it. Mm-hmm. As far as running my own company was, I don't know how to run it. I've never, ever taken a business course. And something as simple as like in high school, like maybe if they taught a finance class and not like, I don't know, geometry. Like it's just stuff that, yeah, I think people would benefit from.
Yeah,
and even in college, like my degree's in theater. What the hell am I going to do with that?
Yeah.
Should have been taking a business course.
Budgeting for
not,
my job.
Yes, not for what I need for to run my own company.
So that's changed, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But I mean, you built a fucking book of business when you were in high school, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world.
No, girl. I was a side hustler. I used to stay after school and do dollar braid for volleyball team, basketball team, soccer team, softball team. I used to just sit there and wait in the gym and just braid and make money in high school.
Dollar braids?
Yeah. Yeah, and then I used to do that. I used to do homecoming hair and makeup at my mom's house. Yeah. Thanks, Mary Kay Samples. But yeah, I used to do all that. So I definitely started from high school. I would say probably 40% of my clientele I've had since high school, college. They've been with me since then.
Do you think if your husband didn't support your move to owning a business, you wouldn't have done it, or you just wouldn't have married him?
No. My husband's a special breed. He dropped everything and moved here for me because I had the business here. Mm-hmm. I also was not leaving my family. You know how big, mm-hmm, family is. So, that was a no questions asked. This was like when we first met, it was, you either are doing this with me or it's not happening. Yeah, okay. Love you to death, Mike. But that's just the way it had to be.
Shout out to Mike.
Shout out my kids. Love you, boo. And I'm grateful for that. He is the person that calls me on my shit. And he was tired of me spreading myself so thin that he was the last person on my chain of,
yep,
people that I dealt with after. Actually, he was before myself. So like I treated myself, yeah, the worst, then him, then my clients, then, yeah, my, so he did push me and I needed that. Like, I'm one of those that I need. I'm a smack in the face type of person where like, hi.
Do you, because you're so focused on the hustle, do you pick hustle or when you need a timeout or a day off, do you pick your day off?
Oh, I 100% pick hustle and it's really bad. And it's something that I'm working on. And I've recently, since I've taken this class, I do 4 11-hour days now. And I take the rest of the days off. And one of the days we shoot on Sundays, we felt record our podcast. And then, so I give myself Tuesdays, Wednesdays off and I'm like, don't even do it for like my family. Like I just need those days and it's in the middle of the day. So nobody really bothers me.
Yes.
And I can get, it's in the middle of the week. I'm sorry. And I can get my doctor's appointments in and I can do grocery shopping, everything on those days. And like everything's empty.
So you work on Mondays.
Yes.
Not and Sundays.
Yep.
Not your typical hair salon. But that's good. You weren't taking any days off according to your other schedule.
Yeah, I really wasn't. And I was the person where if somebody needed something, I completely dropped everything for everybody else. Cause I am a hustler. So like if there's a chance to make money, I would make money. And then I had a mental breakdown and I was just like, I don't ever like my brain doesn't shut off. And it was literally like stopping me from sleeping. And it affected my body.
Yeah. You got to sleep. I always read big things on like entrepreneurs and things to do. And some people are like, yeah, you got to work when everybody's sleeping, but I'm like, no, you need to sleep. And that's a perfect example. You were hustling and doing the 24-hour thing every day. And you're like, hold on. I need to actually be able to think. I need to actually be able to fucking talk to people because they'll be in my chair. So you started in your house. Now you have your salon, right?
I started in at my stepmom's salon. Then I went to my grandmother's house for about 2 years. You went there one time, right? Yeah, for about 2 years. Then I worked at a barbershop.
Oh, yeah, I remember that too.
For 2 years, yeah. Shout out Westside Barbershop, my little barber brothers.
I loved that. It was all barbers and then stylists in the corner, but Marissa fits, right?
I was the queen bee over there. I loved it. And then after that, I worked at a salon for probably 3 years. And then I've been, I have a suite now, so, and I love it. Actually, no, after the salon, I worked out of my house for 4 years, which was amazing. But that was a big reason why I needed to cut ties because I never shut it off. And I mean, I won't name names, but I had clients that would drive by my house and see that my car was there. And they were like, hey girl, can I just get a wax?
Oh,
hey girl, I have an event. Like I wasn't answering my phone.
No,
I promise on my life. And like, it affected like my marriage. Cause my husband was like, are you kidding me? it was hard on me, but I'm the one that's like, okay, it'll just take me 2 minutes.
It's kind of like a drug dealer and you have what they need.
I was, they wanted their fix and it was like their hairy mustache or like their eyebrows were jacked up. Or it was just like, hey girl, can you just do a set of braids for me?
No.
Or something. Oh, yeah, it happened a lot more frequent than people knew.
I need my fix, Marissa. Yeah,
for sure. And it affected me to the point that like, there was, I think 2 days that I didn't even see outside. Like Mike had let the dogs out. Like I hadn't stopped. I hadn't taken a shower. I was in the same clothes for 2 days because I didn't leave the house. Yeah. My brain didn't shut off enough to like realize, oh, I went to sleep and I woke up.
And I'm home.
And I'm home. And like my salon is literally 16 steps away from my bed. So it was all just one big blur. And once my grandmother got sick, we moved in with her and I needed that break. It was like everything happened all together.
Mm-hmm. 11 years you've owned your business. Mm-hmm. That's insane to be so young.
Yeah.
People have to come to you for advice all the time.
Yes and no. They come to me for advice as far as how to let go. Like I actually like have had people come to me and be like, this is my safety net. Like what did you do? When did you leave? And I always tell people from my advice, I don't want somebody to quit their job right now and do everything to like start something small.
But people are reaching out like, hey, Marissa, I've been broke for months now.
Girl, what would happen? I always tell people you should do your side hustle until your side hustle makes more money than your real, quote unquote, real job. So don't like, I'm all about people starting being entrepreneurs, like starting something new, but don't quit what's providing for you and your family until the other one, you know what I mean? Yep. That makes sense. I don't know if I'm saying the right words.
Get revenue coming in. Yes. You have to have consistency somewhere. Yes.
And I'm all about the not sleeping for 2 months straight, but for that little point in time when things cross over, then once it's steady or once you're steady, then that's when I think it's okay to let go.
But you had a book of business in the beginning from your stepmom's salon. So how did Did you run numbers for yourself?
No.
You just did it.
I just did it. I'm telling you right now, I've never ran the business side of anything. It was hard for me to let go. I'm a creature of habit. So a stylist now, like I have an app called Style Seat, and that's where you can book online. Now that keeps all my clients' information on it, all their appointments. I could put their color formulas in it. Before that, I had like a notebook, and sometimes I did it, sometimes like, so like I had no way of organizing any of that, any of my numbers. I'm just now starting to actually run my finances numbers. And not, I want to start to pay myself. I've never done it before.
Sky's the fucking limit.
Girl,
now.
I can't. I love it. I'm trying to be organized. Oh, wow. Baby steps. But that's the problem with doing a service-based industry is that if you don't start it from the beginning, being organized and business-wise, it's
a clusterfuck.
It's a clusterfuck. And it's a Amazon box full of receipts that you throw down and you organize, you know, right before taxes are due. Mm-hmm. It's that stuff that it's...
Oh, you mean your life? Okay. Yeah. In a shoebox.
Yeah. Just big Amazon box, not a shoebox, girl. You know, I have a lot of receipts. But it's just one of those where my biggest piece of advice is to start organized from the beginning. One thing I didn't do that I like, what is it? Practice what you preach. Uh-huh. I don't. So I just like tell people, organize your life. Take a business class. Even if it's one stupid class, just take it. Like,
you took one. Are you still taking the same another one?
I'm going to go. Cool. I have another class with her in Connecticut in July.
I love that. In Connecticut.
Yeah.
I like that. And you love to travel. You're crazy.
I do.
So I love that. Stay organized. Even if I don't feel like I'm an organized person because I like write in every notebook I have. I'm like old school. But you're right. There's apps out there. There's tools for the people who aren't just... It's funny because my sister has a hairstylist. She's organized. Like she used to write down her outfits in high school to make sure she didn't wear the same outfit in a notebook. And then for hairstylists, I was like, well, how much revenue? She's like, you know what? I got to do that. I was like, what?
Well, this is what's funny. For Cheesecake, I had to do all the book. Like I literally was in the bakery. So I did all the numbers and I was so good at it. And I trained in doing finances and like numbers and like literally the cash register is what I trained people in across the world.
Isn't that weird?
My own? Clusterfuck.
But I feel like because you feel like it's such a hobby and you love it so much, it's not a business to you, but you still, that is your business.
And that's the problem. I don't consider it a job because I love to do it. And that is where from the beginning, I should have done it the business route because I still would have loved doing it. Mm-hmm. My biggest stress in life is the business side of it. I dread it. I dread to sit down and actually figure out how much I make, how much I spent. Like that's the problem is my thing is a recycle. Like my credit card machine comes in and then I buy stuff with it. And it's just the nonstop where I just think as an entrepreneur and as a businesswoman, that was where I messed up from the beginning.
Can you bring back dollar braids? I'd love to just come to yourself. I'd like you to bring it back. I would love a braid. I got a dollar.
I don't even have them in my chair. I'll just have them sit in my crotch like they used to.
Just come here. I'll braid it. I'm going to braid your hair. I love that. I had a great question and then I forgot it.
Should have wrote it down.
In my book right next to me. What was I going to say? I love your hair today too. And
thanks.
It's red. It's fire. It's fire. Oh, so I get adrenaline like being in big groups of people like us when we're together, just like empowering each other, just getting hype on each other's like successes and laughing and stuff. For weddings, I feel like it's a very stressful time, but do you get hype after doing like wedding hair and makeup?
Do you know what I get hyped with? It's like my hair boner is for, yes, I said hair boner.
Love it.
It's a hairgasm is the moment when the bride sees herself. That is a moment that like, I don't give a shit what anybody, that's my like hairgasm moment where I'm just like,
yeah,
like it's the little baby with the,
she's satisfied.
The mean
with
the baby. It's like, yes. That's my moment. That's it. Like there's not really, my job is to make the bride feel good. And I try to also let bridesmaids and mother of the brides and grooms.
Yeah. I love it too.
Know that it's not about them that day. It's about the bride. So I am a therapist a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a de-stressor a lot. And like, that's where I think my personality does good with weddings. Cause I'm like a joke cracker and I'll like sit here and like make the person, like if there's tension in the room, cause you can feel it. Oh, have you ever been a part of a wedding where like you feel the tension? And you're like me, we make people laugh to like,
okay, it's got awkward.
Yeah. So while I'm working on a very strict timeline, I also try to make the vibe better. Cause it's my job that day is to make the bride feel beautiful, whether that's emotionally or like physically, that's my job.
Yep.
And I'm going to do it and I'm going to go. Now, if it's a clusterfuck after I leave, hey,
that's not my fault.
It's not my fault. But while I'm there,
you look beautiful.
You look great, girlfriend.
I follow this lady, Esther Perel. Shout out. She is a therapist, counselor, psychiatrist, all this fun stuff. But she went to a hairstyling event to talk about how when someone's in your chair, hairstylists turn into therapy for them. But self-care for yourself is so important mm-hmm. because mentally, that's sometimes a spot where people are away from everything. It's their time away, getting their hair done. How do you feel sometimes when people like lay it out to you and you having to kind of counsel them? Like, do you, it's, I mean, you okay, are a therapist.
So this is, let me just tell you, it's so sad and it's hard, but also I selfishly, it makes me feel better about my life.
Well, I mean, because, you got to take motivation from somewhere.
Because I... Where I think, you know, I have troubles with my family, with my marriage, with my business. I hear other people's stuff and I'm just like, okay, I don't got it so bad.
Feeling
like,
better.
It's a little better.
Normal.
And then if somebody, like, I also am that person where, just like I do with weddings, if somebody's sad, I'm going to make them laugh. Mm-hmm. So no matter what somebody tells me, I can turn it around and make them feel good. That for that 1 second, for that 30 minutes to 4 hours that they're with me in my little square cube of a room, they're mine and I'm there. So like they can talk to me and open up about anything. And I just want to flip it for them. Now, that being said, I also am the first to know a lot of things. If they're pregnant, if they're getting married, if they're getting divorced, like I know all the tea and it's a lot sometimes. And like, I have to tell somebody and I tell my husband and he could give three shits, but it's just a lot for me to keep in my head and you have to be able to release it to somebody. And having a spouse that doesn't talk and doesn't care is the best. But it's just in a sense that like you got to be able to tell somebody. That's what I'm sure the counselor says. It's a lot for us. Mm-hmm. I know so many people's stuff and it's a lot to keep secrets. And at least with my clients, I have a couple that can't stand each other and they know like I'm a very loyal person, almost to a fault. Like get your shit out, vent it all you want. Yeah, I don't want that negativity here because you're not talking about my friend. Like say what you got to say.
So is your unwinding getting it off your chest with your mannequin of a husband sitting there?
As I made it through. Oh, God, right. Yeah, I mean, it's that, a nice glass of wine. I mean, like, yeah. I just sometimes need to just have a moment. And what's funny is, I don't know, there's got to be other hairdressers out there. I watch reality TV because reality TV is sometimes more normal than like
my life. Yes.
Or the other way, it's just too dramatic that's my release. If I watch trash TV, it makes me realize like, okay, everything going on in my guest life or my life is normal compared to these hot mess bitches. Yeah.
We all know you love TV.
Love it.
So I hate when people are like, oh, you guys are so much alike. You're not going to get along. We're 100% alike.
Yeah.
A little different. She's got a bigger butt.
She's
lucky, Cubana.
You're tan.
I have some olive skin. But I'm saying like, I feel like we energize each other.
For sure.
Do you feel like that with personalities of like women personalities and men?
Yes.
Shout out to men too.
Shout out AP. Yeah. I mean, I'm around women all day, every day. I feed off of energy. If you come in with a stank ass attitude, I actually want to be nicer to you just to be an asshole.
Yes. Yes. That's how I feed off of it.
So somebody comes in with their stankness, I'm just like, hi. Okay, great. And then what's funny is I have a mirror in front of me. So when I'm like that, I'm just like, okay,
and
super.
Staring at yourself. Like you're like, I'll just be happy next to myself. It's fine. But I'm like that too.
It gives me like amped up, like not enough like endorphins to like go run a mile, but like it gives me, cause I just don't do that, but it gets me like energized.
Thank you hairstylists for that too. I'd like to share that a lot of hairstylists are the same. I told my sister one time when she was extremely stressed, we were just on the phone cause I was in Miami and I go, just go run it out. She goes, yeah, I'm going to just exfoliate.
Amber's my favorite.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that, but yeah. I'll go exfoliate my skin.
Right now. That's what people don't understand is like, we are on our feet all day on like a cushion mat. Like I said, I work 10, 11 hour days. And then the last thing I want to do is like go to the gym with you at 10 o'clock at night and like go do shit. Fuck off. Like not happening. And then like, oh, let's just go do arm workout. Like No, I blow dry 9 times a day, bitch. That's my armor. You round brush 9 bitches in one day and tell me you want to go lift weights after this. Like, suck it.
I did already work out. Suck it.
Thanks.
And what's funny is if anybody's ever been to an event or ran a booth at an event, those padded mats are like everything to you. And you're only there for like 3 days. You're literally there every day.
Every day.
On your padded shitty mat.
Yeah. And I think that those padded shitty mats have formation from my big 200 pound ass being in the same spot. So it's like dentist, dude. Matt.
And you're like, shit, I'm in the dense spot.
I know. And I just started in my new like adulting loca self. I just started wearing closed toed shoes because I used to wear like flip flops every day at the salon.
Oh gosh, so bad.
And then I not only would I get hair splinters, but I would also be like in my kinos. And then I was like, oh, I'm 31. My back hurts. Like maybe I should wear supportive shoes.
How do you feel about getting pieces of hair out of your boobs every day?
It actually hurts. So I don't know if your sister had this, but especially when you cut men's hair, it's sharp and you get hair splinters. And I know she's had it, but it's where it like penetrates your skin and you have to literally take a tweezer and pluck it out because it's
like a splinter.
It's a splinter. And if the hair's cut so sharply that it literally pokes you in the breasts.
Like, and there's no way to dodge that.
No, there's absolutely no way. Even if
armor.
The problem is like I'm busty. So like I could wear a turtleneck and
she's got big titties.
It'll still come out, like it'll still come all over my breast. That's not what I meant. It'll still come like the hair. No, that's not what I meant.
This took a dark turn.
But the hair will fall on my top. Is that better?
My thing with that is I'm going to now, thank you for giving me this idea. I'm going to now create body armor for hairstylists. Do you think it'll sell?
I mean, I'll wear it. I wear it for sure.
Protect yourself.
I literally will wear it.
Wrap it up.
Because you could do the body armor and then we won't get shit all over our clothes, but that's just not going to work.
Yeah. Your aprons don't do shit.
No, they literally don't. It doesn't matter. That's why I love the hairdressers that wear beautiful clothes every day and like their hair and makeup done all day. But like, I can't, and I'm not. And anybody, if I wear makeup today, if I go to the salon right now with this makeup on, I guarantee you two of my clients are gonna be like, where did you go today? Why do you have makeup on? Like, I just am not that stylist. My job is not to come in looking fabulous. It's to make other people look fabulous. So like, I can't.
I get it. And everybody in like salons, like corporate side, they all have to do their hair and their makeup.
Oh yeah, for sure. And they have to, but you ruin clothes. And like and if bleach goes on a white shirt, it turns pink. And then the pink, like you Sharpie it so many times to like cover up the pink spot. And it really just is still like brown.
I get it.
It's just cute.
Okay. So one piece of advice for anybody starting there or owning their own business right now.
Okay.
I know the organization thing was one.
That's my biggest thing that I am starting to do now. Okay. I would just say, be organized and do all your financial side. That's a huge, huge part. B, take risks.
Okay.
Take risks. And I'm a big goal person. So whether it's small goals, like this is where my ADHD comes into play, I write lists. So once I have my list down, I cross them off. So like do little goals and big goals.
Okay.
So I try to do like one personal, one health one. Like I do like a big one for the end of every year that I have to meet. And then little ones are like my monthly ones.
Like your big ones, like getting your taxes in on time. Yep,
that was a big one. Really, and then my other one was to do a marathon. And I did that this year. I walked it with my dog, but I still, whatever, fuck it. I did one. I have a medal.
So Macho did it too?
Miguelito. I had put him in a little baby stroller. Stop. I can't. It was great.
Okay.
I have pictures.
I'm proud of you though.
I got a medal.
And in a way, like what just happened and how many people took pictures of you?
Oh my God. Do you want to see? I have a boomerang.
Yeah. We'll definitely look at it. And then 3 most influential people in your life.
Career based.
Both.
Okay. Career based. I would say Gina Bianca is number one right now. She's like giving me life in a lot of ways. The hair doctor I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. Then I would say I'm going to do women, all women. Tabitha Coffey is the baddest bitch when it comes to hairdresser. She used to have a show called Salon Takeover.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very blunt.
That's silly.
Very rude. I need to be told like that.
I don't think you're rude. You're like blunt sweet.
I'm blunt, but I'm coming from love. I just don't know how to deliver things sometimes. I mean well.
When you add your eye roll or something, that turns into a little bitchy. But when it's not there, it's better.
It's my tone, end quote. And then I would probably say, who's another person I look up to? I can't even think right now.
I'm sorry, 2's good. Do personal good. Now. I know grandma.
My grandma.
Abuela.
My abuela. Mama Dukes. And then, personal. Who else? I can't think right now.
It's okay. Two's good.
Yeah, we'll just do two.
I'm proud of you. I've said two. I never said three.
Oh, I thought you said three.
You're gullible as shit. So I just said, no, it's two. You're great. Yeah, it's so great. Oh my gosh. So anything you want to leave on?
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for being a lot. Oh my God. Again, ordinary people living extraordinary lives, interviewing people that I fucking love or have met and just got hype about or have known for way too long that we basically have a blackmail friendship because she knows too much about me and I know too much about her. Sure. You got to love each other. But thanks again for tuning in and can't wait for the next episode. Thanks.
Social
at notagreatwhisper.com and Marissa
at Hair by Marissa Moran on Instagram and then at Marissa Moran Hicks on my personal page.
Hicks is her white person name.
Just my married name, but we don't go by that.
It's her white person name.
It is.
Thank you again for tuning in.
Bye. Bye.